The recession has changed Wall Street, and this summer we'll look at how it's changing the lives of people who worked there. We begin in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Ridgewood is a tidy bedroom community about 25 miles north of New York City. Business Week recently listed it as one of the several dozen places that would be hit hardest by the financial crisis. That's because one in six residents in Ridgewood work in finance or real estate. Many built their lives on Wall Street. Now their future is uncertain. And David Green, you're our guest host this week, but you also paid a visit to Ridgewood.
I did. It was actually last week, Renee, and I took the train there from Manhattan. It's about a 25-minute ride or so. Okay, and there's a little sound of the trip that I wanted to play for you.
American Line to Ridgewood! Ridgewood!
So that sounds like one of those classic bedroom suburbs. Tell us what it looked like.
That's exactly what it is. There's the commuter train station that everyone knows very well, and it's really the center of town. And there's this street, Ridgewood Avenue, that runs away from the train station, past, you know, flower shops, jewelry stores.
And then you have a bank here. Post office is right there.
This is one of my tour guides, Renee. His name is Gus Lanis, and he's owned a diner right in town called the Daily Treat for 40 years. And Lanis has his regular crowd that comes in every morning.
Like 6 o'clock, they know each other. It's like a group, you know. And one day somebody doesn't show up, hey, what happened, you know? Second day does show up, then we call them up.
And David, you always find the diners first, but what are your other impressions? Did you get a sense that life had really change there?
Well, that's why I wanted to play you some sound of Main Street and the train, you know, to give you a sense of what life is normally like. And my impression is just how much these sounds were ingrained in people for years. This was the routine, this commute. You walked up Ridgewood Avenue, stopped for coffee, a paper, said hi to your conductor, got on the train, went to the city, came home at night. And now for some people, this routine is just gone. And instead of these sounds of the train in the morning, a group of men that I met hear this.
Almighty and most merciful Father,
we have heard.
This is a morning prayer session at St. Elizabeth's Episcopal Church in Ridgewood.
We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts.
And Renee, this is a weekday morning about 8:30 a.m.
So rush hour.
Exactly. It's rush hour, and it's when a man named Kenneth Wyman would have been at work on Wall Street by this time of morning. And now that he's out of work, his days are just so different.
Just trying to have some type of routine, but it's not the routine I want. So I started to read to a bathroom that I wanted to do, and you know, just keep the yard up, just to be doing something.
And so Wyman's 54 years old, and he worked for 25 years on the floor as a member of the New York Stock Exchange. And now, once a week, he comes here to this church to be part of a fellowship group. And the group's called Men in Transition. It started up last year to help people in Ridgewood deal with losing jobs or the struggle to find new jobs. And the group is open only to men. And Wyman says that's made it easier to be open.
Being the breadwinner, or the notion or the conception of that we've always had growing up. And to start talking in front of a woman about that, maybe they don't see it the same way we do.
So I sat in on this group's meeting and hung around after to chat with them. The numbers vary. Sometimes it's more than a dozen. On this day, it was 5 men sitting around a table. The man to my right, Philip Serais, was a corporate financial consultant and then the CEO of a small bank. And during the meeting, he was talking about how hard it's been. He's been trying to start his own financial consulting business now, but he hasn't nailed down any clients yet.
I was running around developing opportunities, making contacts, new opportunities, new things, as if I had a staff that I could turn around and say, you follow up on this, I want you to do that, you can do that. Those days are over. You know, I do this by myself now.
What's interesting is these guys would be the first to tell you that they don't think anybody feels sorry for them. If millions of people around the country have lost jobs in this recession, why would anyone care about a group who worked in the middle of Wall Street? And so they deal with their fears and their worries quietly in this room every week. One member sitting at the table, Robert Delaney, was also a Wall Street broker, just like Kenneth Wyman, who we heard before. And Delaney said even though the two of them live in the same town and hung out, they always kept their guard up around each other until they both sat down here for that first fellowship meeting.
And obviously Kenny and I, were, as well as colleagues, were competitors in a face-to-face basis on the New York Stock Exchange for 20-some-odd years. And so I said to him at the end of the conversation that was probably the most honest conversation we'd had in the whole 25 years.
What was different? I mean, was it a shared vulnerability? I mean, it was just the wall.
There was no singing Kumbaya or anything, but it just was.
It was just
about that we were no longer in the same shoes that we had been in previously. So it was much easier for us to talk like that.
And they've been spending their days in entirely new ways, doing things they never did before. Phil Cerace, that former bank CEO, told me about when a church official came to this Men in Transition fellowship group and asked if they wanted to help out and cook for a nearby homeless shelter. And the group said, yeah, let's do it. But they wanted to give the meal their own touch.
Rather than just doing the casserole bit, why don't we, you know, do a barbecue for these guys? And we'll, you know, get some chicken or whatever, and we'll barbecue it up and, you know, all of the accoutrements that go with it and what have you. And we said, okay.
And now, Renee, one member of the group had a little trouble with the cornbread.
He misread the directions. And the cornbread came out rather crispy. It was more like corn toast.
David, there's an image of Wall Street executives tripping over each other wearing these dirty aprons.
Yeah, that's the image I had as well. And the man we were hearing right there, Phil Cerace, told me that it was a spectacle. But he said the group had a really good feeling after serving these meals to the homeless.
Not that it made us feel any better or that, gee, look at a good thing that we've done here. This was our way of sharing our group experience with them. And then having, you know, a little bit of a insight into their experience, you know. The sad thing, of course, was that shelter has been in operation for a long, long time, long before the crash and this economic recession.
That little story, David, makes one wonder. Phil Cerace, this former banking CEO there and these other men, are they optimistic about finding work again?
They don't really know how to feel right now. I should say these guys are not the super wealthy corporate executives we hear about. The median household income in Ridgewood is about $120,000. But these men made nice six-figure salaries. They have some savings, and so they're not desperate for work. But some are in their 50s, and they know they're probably never going to be on Wall Street again. So they're confused. Do they take a job that pays a lot less than they're used to in a totally new field? And, you know, their savings won't last forever, they tell me. And so some are talking about selling their homes, maybe, you know, downsizing.
What about leaving Ridgewood entirely?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the questions I really want to look at in the months ahead. Are there ripple effects from this recession that reshape a community like this? You know, if people built their lives on Wall Street and then suddenly are out of work, do they stay? Do they leave, go somewhere else, as some already have? And how does this really, you know, affect businesses in town? You know, the restaurants, the dry cleaners, really the whole economy.
And so we'll be hearing from you all through the summer on this.
Definitely, Renee.